T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia. It's been a minute since we've invited in our buddy Matt Perino, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Joining us now in the sports bar. Matt, how have you been?
I've been great, great. Just settling into the back. Went to the scouting combine in a couple weeks, and it's been it was such a crazy first season. A lot to talk about with Josh Allen, obviously, on the beat, and now it's kind of just this kind of foot off the pedal a little bit, but we'll get it ramped back up here shortly.
Yeah, and then the Bills hit us with a little bit of news this week, and you wrote about it, Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. You could look it up, and the title of the story you have, did the Buffalo Bills improve their offense by signing Spencer Long? Well, I guess, Matt, you asked the question. Can you answer that? Was this an improvement for the offensive line?
Yeah, I definitely think it's an improvement. I mean, you got to add bodies. And, you know, Sean McDermott's been very adamant over the course of his tenure here that, you know, he is someone who encourages competition. He wants competition at every spot on the roster. And to add guys to the roster that have versatility in their game, like a Spencer Long. Yeah, he didn't have a lot of success at center last year. Been well documented, a game against the Dolphins where he had probably 6 missed snaps to Sam Darnold and took a lot of flack for it, but he owned it. And, you know, he's going to come in here, work with new offensive line coach Bobby Johnson, former teammate of Jeremiah Searles at Nebraska, but also here. And I actually chatted with Jeremiah briefly about Spencer, and he said he's a great guy, works hard, great addition to the room. So I think the real thing here is, the important thing here to remember is, everybody was worried about the contract right off the bat, right? The 3-year deal. Well, Mike Rodak from ESPN reported today that it's actually a 1-year deal with player options for 2021 and 2022. So he's only going to be making about a $1.5 million next year, which really isn't that big of a deal. You know, a guy that, you know, is going to be brought in here to compete. And I think you're going to see a lot of guys like this brought in. Obviously, you want the big splashes, and we can talk about that. Everybody's got Denver's Matt Paradis on their atop their wish list, or Mitch Morse from Kansas City. But you got to add bodies, and you know this is the beginning stage of it. Free agency hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, Matt, I love what he says when he says, you know, it's about competition and bringing guys in to compete. But I also think, you know, there shouldn't be a competition if you're bringing in guys that are clearly better than the guys that you're competing for that position. And a guy like Paradise would be an example of somebody that if you brought him in, hey, there's no question, that's your starting center.
For sure, for sure. And I think that we're in a very important offseason, right? We've spoken about this over and over again over the course of this year leading into this year. You know, the rebuild, setting up the rebuild is done now. Like, now you have to actually go out there and get the players that are going to make a difference on the field. Build around Josh Allen. They believe that he's the future. He's the guy. You got to put players around him. So, yeah, is Spencer Long a game-changing or an offense-changing signing? Probably not. But, you know, there's going to be a number of these, and you hopefully hit with one of them. Let's be honest. I mean, this is a former third-round pick. Who knows?
You look at the Bills' offensive line, there are other guys here that likely will be gone. Ryan Groy, John Miller, Jordan Mills, they're all unrestricted free agents. Matt, do you get the sense that the Bills are going to let these guys walk?
I think out of the three, my hunch is the guy that has the best chance of returning is maybe Jordan Mills, who I don't think fans are overly thrilled with that, but as potentially like a depth guy. I think Ryan Groy is gone. And I think John Miller might be gone. I've seen some kind of weird Instagram posts from him on his Instagram story the last week or so, kind of about, like, you know, having to prove it all over again. And I'm just wondering if the addition of Spencer Long means John Miller is no longer going to be back. But I think this is a situation. This offensive line was so bad last year. You're moving on from your offensive line coach, you're bringing in a new one, you're going to try to reshape this whole operation. It might be best to kind of bring in as many new faces along that line as you can. Obviously, Deion Dawkins, former second-round pick, has had stretches of time where he's been really good, more so in his rookie season, but, you know, you still believe in him. You have Wyatt Teller, who showed, you know, very small burst of potential last year, a fifth-round pick. Other than that, I mean, there's money to spend, and I think that they're going to spend it. I mean, you know, you talk about Paradise Morris, and then you talk about, you know, Darrell Williams in Carolina, yeah. Obviously the connection there, but he could be the best offensive lineman available in free agency. So, yeah, you got to bring in players that can play, but you also have to, you know, have guys that can push them.
Yeah, I imagine you mentioned Darrell Williams. I imagine because of that Carolina connection, I mean, I think every Bills fan just automatically assumes, well, if he played at Carolina, he'll end up in Buffalo at some point. But you're right, Williams might actually be one of the better offensive linemen available in free agency. What do we know about his health coming off of torn ACL?
I mean, it's always, you know, scary when you're talking about an injury like that. Even Paradis has a pretty significant leg injury as well that he's coming off of. So, you know, it's never 100%. You hope when in 2019, you know, they do their due diligence and get the right medical clearance for these guys. But, you know, I think that you talk about the name that I have heard bantied about with Carolina that I'm hoping the Bills steer clear of is Devin Funchess. I think that's a guy that, you know, we had so much drama with Calvin Benjamin, and from everything that I've read, I've watched some of his film, it's Calvin Benjamin 2.0. He doesn't get separation. He's slow. He hasn't blossomed into the guy you want. I don't think you need another one of those in free agency.
Well, they know that there are 30 other teams in the NFL outside of Carolina and Buffalo, right? I mean, it is possible that they can actually bring in some guys of value that didn't play for Carolina while they were there.
Right. I mean, it's crazy. I'm actually doing a series, a video series. I'm linking up with a couple beat writers from various teams in the NFL that have a cluster of free agents. And Carolina is next. I'm going to be talking to that beat reporter next week. And I just want to chat with her a little bit about, you know, just how crazy this whole dynamic between the organizations is, because it's almost like you can't get away from it. You go a couple weeks and some other little thing pops up, whether it be a coach or a player. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, and this is a management thing. If you surround yourself with not the best people per se, but people that you feel comfortable with, and hard for me to sit here and probably hard for you to sit there and say Ken Dorsey is a bad hire. But, gosh, you know, when you look at the candidates out there possibly to be the quarterback coach, sure, Ken Dorsey did a job with Cam Newton, and Cam Newton gave his seal of approval. But Ken Dorsey was also working in an athletic department in, you know, some division school when the Bills came a-calling. So what are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills hiring Ken Dorsey?
I think I'm not as concerned with it. I think that if he can bring an element of, you know, experience, you know, from that time with Cam Newton and what worked. But let's be honest, there are a lot of similarities between Cam Newton and Josh Allen. So maybe he might be able to bring something into this room. But I think the most important thing that happened for Josh Allen was the signing of Derek Anderson. He's almost, my tag team partner at NYF, Ryan Talbot, he wrote that Derek Anderson was one of the candidates when they were looking for a quarterback coach. And I think it's kind of crazy. You almost have your de facto quarterback coach in the room itself. So I think Ken Dorsey is going to be a voice in the room of plenty of voices. And I think the most important one is Brian Daboll. And, you know, it seems like Josh Allen and Brian Daboll have developed a very good chemistry. And they, at this point, they're linked to each other. I mean, their success is predicated on the other. And I think that's the most important relationship. I mean, you go out and look, watch practice. You know, obviously the quarterback coach is going to be working with Josh Allen, but Brian Daboll spends the majority of his time with in that quarterback group, at least the part of the practices that we're allowed to watch. So that relationship to me is the most important. And he's a guy that after 1 year, he had the, 30th ranked offense in the league, and there was some rumors that he was potentially low on some list for head coaching job interviews.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know,
but,
that.
You know,
I don't know, man. Do you really think that Brian Daboll was somebody that was being considered for a head coaching job, or was he just a name that they knew that they could get for cheap?
I can't imagine that he was, but the point being, there is the potential for him to, with this offense, with this quarterback, and you know the money and resources that they have to build something here, that he has the opportunity over the next few years to be a part of something that you know is on the rise. So I think that you know you talk about Ken Dorsey, question marks, and you know where he went to, and I hear all that, but I think whatever he brings to the equation is just additional. I think the most important relationship is that one with Brian Daboll, and that's one that we're going to get a chance to study and kind of take a closer look at over the course of the next year or two.
Here's my concern, Matt, and you tell me where you stand on this. And I know that on Twitter you and I have had exchanges prior to Ken Dorsey getting hired about Jordan Palmer. And Jordan Palmer clearly, you know, has a good thing going and mentoring and tutoring quarterbacks and working with them, you know, as a kind of like a freelance guy. We saw what he did to Josh Allen from his time in Wyoming to the time he was selected by the Buffalo Bills, and we're all impressed by that. Everybody was impressed by it. So clearly there's a guy that is getting through to Josh Allen. Then we also saw a guy in Derek Anderson who came in to the Buffalo Bills and got a little bit out of Josh Allen as well, and you could tell that mentorship helped and aid his growth. We see Brian Daboll spending the majority of his time with Josh Allen. Now you bring in Ken Dorsey, and I guess my thing is, why even bring a quarterbacks coach at this point other than to cloud the guy's head? I mean, Josh Allen's head now, you're going to have so many cooks in the kitchen trying to correct something that might be wrong. You know, could that be potentially damaging when really the only guy that matters, as you mentioned, is Brian Daboll? And furthermore, if Brian Daboll fails, well, you've got your potential offensive coordinator waiting in the wings in Ken Dorsey.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. They had a quarterback coach last year, David Culley, that was, you know, spent the majority of his time as a wide receivers coach beforehand. I think what Ken Dorsey can bring into the room, and listen, I'm with you. I did think that Jordan Palmer would be a nice idea because of the familiarity between the two, the fact that they've already had results, that they've already gotten results in terms of, you know, Josh Allen's development. I thought it made sense. But, you know, Dorsey has a lot of experience in the league. Not only the time that he spent, you know, with Cam Newton, but also the failures that he's had in this league, the struggles that he's had in this league. And I think, you know, bringing that into the room, I think that, the greatest of greats aren't always the best coaches or as we're seeing in Denver, the best GMs in terms of, you know, John Elway and what he's done at the quarterback position there. But, you know, I think the guys that come in here and it's hard for them and they struggle, I think that there's things to be passed on there. But you know what? You bring up a great point. All these are great points. It's a wait-and-see game. It's another Carolina connection that, you know, as these add up, you know, I think people are going to start to tear these things down a little bit more when they don't work out.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. You can read his work. NewYorkUpstate.com is the website. Let's go to some other news and notes here from the NFL that maybe impact the Bills indirectly here. I want to talk about Denver's trade and how that may impact the Bills' ability to trade down here. But first, you had the Cleveland Browns signing Kareem Hunt over the week. Part A of the question, were the Buffalo Bills ever in on Kareem Hunt? Did they have conversations? Do we know anything about that? And then B, what do the Bills do in the backfield? Because if their plan once again is LeSean McCoy and whoever, I would hope they have a better plan, Matt.
For sure. And I think that, you know, I think number one, you're going to see them probably look at this crop of running backs in the draft. There's actually, I wrote about, a couple options in free agency as well to figure that out. I don't think LeSean McCoy is the solo plan for 2019. It can't be. I mean, as much as you believe in the guy or whatever, you know, you think of him, there is a season worth of struggles that you can't overlook. And he's going to be 31 going into next year. He seemed frustrated throughout. I mean, when guys shut it down and don't want to talk about it anymore, usually, you know, that's a good sign that there's some serious frustration going on in their own camp from just a playing perspective. I mean, everything that he was trying to save for that one game, I believe it was against the Jets, didn't work. So it is what it is. I don't know if there was any interest. I did see a report, and I saw it refuted. We'll get a chance to talk to Brandon Bean next or 2 weeks at the Combine. But, yeah, I mean, it's such a touchy situation. I saw a report today that, you know, there with Kareem Hunt, our in advanced media, Cleveland.com is one of our sister sites, and Mary Kate Cabot wrote about, you know, this is an opportunity for you know, Cleveland to kind of embrace Kareem Hunt and work with him and teach him something. And I think there's something to be said for that, but it's definitely not a good look. I mean, when you have something like this much in the public eye right now, you know, this Me Too movement and the way that, you know, some of these guys are treating women. I mean, I don't know. It's a bad look. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what benefits.
Well, based on what you said, and this is a bad look. You have a guy in LeSean McCoy who's has all these allegations against him from last offseason. You have a fat contract that you have to honor. You don't have to honor, but you're he's scheduled to make $9 million plus in 2019. You know that you're not going to get value given his production in 2018. I'll ask the question, Matt. Is LeSean McCoy, I know they've said he's on the roster in 2019 and he's a part of their plans in 2019. Is he a part of their plans in 2019?
I think he is. And the reason why I'm sticking with that, and I go back and forth on whether or not he should be. There's pros and cons on both sides, and I think I put out a story at the end of the season that did actually divvy up the pros and the cons. But I think that, you know, I just find it hard to believe that Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, the Pegulas, would have supported him so vehemently throughout this whole process. And even now, with it still being a pending case, that they're not, you know, why not just move on at this point? Why continue to throw your support behind him? I do think that there is a belief in that building that LeSean McCoy could still be, you know, an above average running back in this league, and that remains to be seen. But I think that, there's a ton of options. They're looking at, you know, they're not big names by any stretch, but you look at guys like T.J. Yeldon and Tevin Coleman, guys that, you know, it may not have been like, you know, game busters for them since they've been drafted, but guys that still have potential. Versatility is key in this Brian Daboll offense, guys that can catch the ball in the backfield. You saw what Chris Ivory did, a guy that's not known for that whatsoever, but he had a couple big plays in the passing game. Just imagine if you bring in a guy in the running game like that that can affect games like that. I think that's huge. And LeSean McCoy didn't do it. He didn't do it in the passing game last year, and that's something that, you know, I've written about several times this year. LeSean McCoy has to be a bigger part of this passing game, and if he's not getting it done in the run game, figure out a way to do it in the passing game. He lined up wide several times almost every game, and he was still invisible. So, you know, I don't know. I think he will be back. Should he be back? Some days, I say no.
Matt Perino from the Syracuse Post-Standard. Read his work, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest. Let's switch over to the draft here and the story here. And I think this is kind of draft-related, was Denver picking up Joe Flacco in exchange for one of their two fourth-round picks, reportedly. When you look at the Bills at number 9, Matt, I think what Brandon Bean said, it was basically, hey, read between the lines. We're open to trading down. Did the job of the Buffalo Bills, if they want to trade down here, get a little more difficult, meaning a team that might want to trade up doesn't have to fear Denver taking a quarterback at number 10 now?
I mean, it definitely impacted a tiny bit, but I still think there's three teams behind them at 11, 13, and 15 that want to trade up for a quarterback or get a quarterback, and that's Cincinnati, Miami, and Washington. I think Washington's like the most they're in the most dire straits, right? I mean, it's looking like Alex Smith is going to be out all next season. And I think that if you're Brandon Bean, just looking at this spot, and I understand best player available, but at that 9 spot, you're in kind of a tricky area where whoever does end up falling there, it may not be the value. You're probably not getting the same value, whereas if you were to trade and load up some assets. But yeah, I think it impacts them. I mean, John Elway has had a tough run of things. I mean, this is, you know, I don't really understand it, to be honest with you. Joe Flacco, to me, has been one of the worst quarterbacks in this league. I remember years ago, it was a Bills game in Buffalo, I believe, when he threw 5 interceptions in a game. And I don't know. The guy just, to me, doesn't seem like the answer. But, you know, I think that the Denver Broncos still want to probably get a quarterback. I mean, I don't think that they're interested in extending Joe Flacco. I think they're hoping that he can be what they hoped Case Keenum was going to be this past season. He can be in 2019 and then maybe get a quarterback. And if they don't believe in any of these four guys, then maybe they're eyeing the 2020 draft, which is supposed to be a little bit better in terms of the quarterback position. But yeah, I think it impacts the Bills. I'm 100% at this point, though, sold after doing the research and reading the mock drafts and reading the draft analysis. I really think the Bills want to move down because you're going to get value. Even if you move down to that 15th spot, I think you're going to get one of the elite offensive linemen in this draft at that spot, and you're going to add up or add a few more pieces maybe in the middle rounds. And Brandon Bean, you know, you could say what you want about him with all this Carolina stuff. He has shown that he can, you know, draft well in those later rounds. And Jaren Johnson looks like a home run. I know it was Sean McDermott before that, but Matt Milano in the fifth round. This regime is having a lot of success in those rounds. So if you can do that and still get a player of need that is a best player available at that spot, do it.
Matt, what do you do if you are at 9 and you're the Buffalo Bills? Do you reach for a wide receiver? Do you go defense? I think there's a fan base that's kind of split as far as what they'd like to see the team do if they do remain actually at 9.
Well, from what I'm reading, there's four really game-changing defensive players in this draft, right? Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Rashawn Gary, and Quinnen Williams. And after that, it's almost like that next tier, right? So those four are going to be off the board before 9 hits. And then you're talking about wide receiver, tight end. A name to watch is T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa. I believe it's Iowa. I've looked at so many schools last couple weeks. But, yeah, T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa. He is just soaring up draft boards across the thing. I mean, there's people that are saying that he can go as high as 5 to Tampa Bay. So I think that, I don't know. I think what you have to do, and I don't know if Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have proven the ability to do this in terms of evaluating, you know, playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, but they have to evaluate if you're going to go that route at 9 with a wide receiver or tight end. You have to go out and get the most dynamic playmaker in this draft that's going to impact games. Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma, some people are comparing him to Tyreek Hill. That could, I mean, I think it's Todd McShay and Dane Brugler from The Athletic both have him as their number one wide receiver in this draft. Maybe that's the route you go. But wherever you go, if you do stay in that 9 spot, it has to be a hit because this offense was so bad last year and lacking playmakers, even with the emergence of a Robert Foster, which was nice, but, you know, all of a sudden teams are going to start game planning for him next year. So it'll be interesting to see what that transition is like from year one to year two. I think you have to hit a home run if you're going to stay in that 9 spot.
Matt, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the National Enquirer type of story in the NFL this week. How do you see the whole Antonio Brown situation playing out in Pittsburgh? And, you know, what are the odds the Bills get on some level involved in that? Could you ever see Antonio Brown wearing Bills gear?
Oh, I think it would be great to see Antonio Brown wearing Bills gear. I mean, I know he's at the, definitely entering the twilight, you know, that last 3 or 4 years of relevance. But I think that he showed last year that he's still, you know, an elite player in this league. I was talking to the Pittsburgh Steelers beat writer about some of their free agents like Jesse James and Le'Veon Bell, et cetera. We're talking about Antonio Brown a little bit. And, you know, he was telling me all these different things about, like, how I wouldn't want to go to the Bills, whatever. But I don't think he has a choice, right? I mean, I don't think the Steelers are going to be sitting there asking Antonio Brown where he wants to go if they do decide to deal him. I think it comes down to cost. You have to weigh that out. And when this all started, my initial reaction was, you know, whatever it takes. I mean, how often do you get the chance to add a bona fide, legitimate number one wide receiver? But the more I thought about it, the more I, you know, he does bring a little bit of baggage, and he is at it. If this was 2 years ago, I would maybe consider a first round pick. But at this point, you know, they've done a good job of stockpiling assets, and you can get yourself into a little bit of a trouble if you try to mortgage the future, and they have a lot of holes on this team by going after one guy when, you know, we just talked about, if there is a Marquise Brown who does end up being the next Tyreek Hill or, you know, even Antonio Brown for that matter, you know, you may want to go that route. And then you've got to rely on your general manager and, you know, your scouting staff to do their part, their due diligence to scout these guys and find those players in the draft if you're going to rely. It's a tough balance, and that's why I write about it and I don't do it.
Matt, we're getting ready for free agency. We're getting ready for the combine. We're getting ready for the draft. You're doing a lot of great work at NewYorkUpstate.com. Let our listeners know what you're working on for the site now that they can check out.
Yeah, I mean, everything this week has been getting ready for the start of free agency. I've been literally digging in with some guys and gals from around the country who sit there and watch all these guys that are about to hit the open market, and I'm just, you know, firing off questions to them to bring some more kind of insight into these potential free agents, the names of interest. And I will say, one name that has really popped for me in this whole exercise, Terrell Suggs. who it's looking like the Ravens aren't going to bring him back. It's probably they're kind of looking to move on and give some more time to their younger linebackers. And he's a guy that even last season, which was technically a down season, he still averaged 8 sacks, which would have led the Bills. And you look at the things that Sean McDermott has been able to do, with Lorenzo Alexander and guys that maybe, and Kyle Williams, extending their careers and putting them in the rotation. I think if you dial up Terrell Suggs for 45% of the snaps, I think you could see some really, really nice results on the opposite side of Jerry Hughes. And I think that's interesting to think about. But yeah, we'll have a bunch of coverage leading up to the combine next week. Ton of free agency stuff, and then I'll be out in Indy the following week.
Yeah, so let's hook up while you're out there. Matt Parrino, who I'm sure loves the decision he made to come back home to Buffalo, because this time last year you were in Vegas covering the UFC. Do you wake up in the morning and say, oh, be nice to be in 80-degree weather out in Vegas right around now?
That I will say, the last snowstorms have been really tested my resiliency, but I'm getting through it. I'm Buffalo born.
That's right. What makes us, it gives us grit. It makes us stronger. It makes us more resilient, as you mentioned, Matt. Great hearing from you. Appreciate the time as always. And let's catch up when you're in Indianapolis for the combine. All right.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
You got it. Matt Parrino, writing for the Syracuse Post-Standard. You can read his work at newyorkupstate.com.
As lot we can go back to there. We've got NFL appetizers coming up here in the sports bar. News from the Bengals, the Broncos, some NFL scheduling notes. A lot going to here.
Appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.